Hello, welcome to Brap Life. My name's Angel. I just want to say thank you guys so much for all of the support. It's really, really cool to know that last month we doubled the amount of people who were listening to this podcast, and I cannot say thank you enough for that. And same goes for the writers who are coming onto this podcast. It's been really, really great to have so many people agree to come on here and just be able to share so many stories. It's been really, really cool to have people that are just so excited to share. And it's really awesome to know that there's people all around the world who are just so supportive of these stories. I'm just like completely blown away. So I had gotten several requests for merch, and if you haven't seen it already, there is a link for merch on my Instagram in my link tree. So I will include it on the description here, so that way you don't have to go all the way over there if you don't want to. It's just a couple shirts. I'm not like a clothing designer or anything, but people had asked for it and they wanted to show support for the podcast. So all of the money that's coming from the shirts is going to go back into the community. I have kind of a contest that's coming up that I'm working on right now. So hopefully details will come up in the next few days. So keep an eye out on social media for that. But otherwise, I hope you guys really enjoy this week's interview. I was talking to Graham Kobach. He is a 15-year-old rider and racer from Kentucky. And he definitely was a little bit nervous, but it was really cool to talk to him and kind of explore his story a little bit. He was just kind of this fast kid who kept flying by me. And he was in the youth class for Hard Enduro this year. So it's really cool to kind of get a peek into his life and see what all he's got going on and kind of what his plans are for his future. It was also really awesome because his parents were involved with this. They did know what was going on the whole time. And so it was really cool. I got to talk to them and meet them. And I just absolutely love everything about this community. It's so cool to just see so many young kids coming in and just being amazing riders. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you next week. All right, awesome. Well, thank you for coming to Brap Life. I'm super excited for this. This is really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to be on the podcast.
A little nervous. It's okay. You do hard enduro. Like, you should be totally fine with this. This is just talking. Yeah. We're not asking you to do tricks on camera or anything.
Yeah.
So, let's just get right into it. How did you get started riding? What did you get started on? All of that. Let's start from there.
My dad used to race motocross, and I would always listen to the stories of him riding, and I always wanted a bike. And then when I was 7, I got a CRF 70 for Christmas, and I would just kind of ride around on the farm. And then I got a KTM 65 and with a clutch, and had to figure that out. And then once I got on a 85, I started racing hair scrambles, and my dad, we went to this race, and he dared me to do it, even though it was like thunderstorming outside. And I did it because I knew it was like the way I could start racing, because my mom was she did not want me to start racing. And so I did it, and everybody in my class quit except me and one other kid. So I ended up getting second in the first race.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
Kept riding from there.
Okay, so you were 7 when you started?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think I even learned how to ride a bicycle until I was like 10. That's awesome. So first race, you come out in second. Where did it go from there? Did you just keep doing hair scrambles?
Yeah, it was like COVID hit, and everything was shut down except the races. So my dad and I would just go race every weekend, like all the local series, like KXCR, MSXC, all those. Just, and I, I did GNCC my first year racing, and I kept getting better and ended up 11th in the big wheel class.
Wow. That's awesome. That's like, that had to be kind of intimidating, being like up against all the bigger bikes and bigger people.
I thought it was fun. I don't really get nervous on the line, so I was just having fun the whole time.
I wish I had that. I always get super nervous. My last race, I think I was shaking for like 3 days beforehand. I was so nervous.
Yeah, that first race I did was so bad that the second race I went to, I was actually really nervous because I thought it was going to be like that one. But it's not as bad.
So when did you transition into a hard enduro?
It was right when I got off the 85. When I got onto I had a KTM 150, and I was 12 when I got off the 85. So I'm a real big kid, and my dad, they started up the youth hard enduro series, and my dad told me I should race it, and I did not want to race it because I liked going fast then. Mm-hmm. And I just slowly like transferred over and just did the first race and ended up liking it and finished good. And then my dad and I just did the rest of them. And I like it more than hair scrambles now.
Where was your first hard enduro at?
It was TKO. I did it on a big wheel 85.
Oh, all right. You just went all out for it. How many times have you been at TKO now?
Three times.
Awesome. And what kind of experience is that? Like, has it gotten better each time? Has it kind of been the same?
Yeah, the first year I did not want to go back, and then I went back and it was fun. And then this year it was real fun. I really liked this year.
What was the best part about this year?
It was faster and hard enduro sections. So it kind of fit me because I can go fast from the hair scrambles that I used to do, and I can do the hard enduro stuff. So it was fun for me. I liked it.
So when you transition into hard enduro, that takes like obviously a little bit more technical skill. How did you transition to that? Did you just like, were you really good with your clutch and you just figured it out? Or did you have like any kind of like training or anything like that? Do any clinics?
My first 85 I had, it was an older one, so it didn't have much power. And so I was constantly using the clutch to do anything riding it. And so I got real good at using the clutch from those. And so when I got to my KTM 150 with hydraulic clutch and more power, it was a lot easier and I caught on to it a lot faster.
That's awesome. And have you done any training since then, like between then and now, to kind of just increase your skills?
I'll do the classes before the races, like Max Gersten's class at Page. It was good. And then I went to Quinn Wetzel's and Danny Lewis's class before this race. And it was really good. And then when I was on mini bikes, I went to the Shoals and I got to ride with Stu Baylor and Caleb Wood, and they were way faster than me. It was really fun watching them ride.
So out of all of that stuff, what was probably your biggest takeaway from any of the clinics that you did?
Shoals for sure. It got my form right, like toes in, elbows up, and I didn't know any of that. And when I got that, I felt a lot better on the bike.
It makes you a lot more confident.
Yeah. More stable.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I definitely have experienced that. I'm obviously way older. But I definitely experienced that when I figured out, I didn't know when I first started riding that form was a thing, body position was a thing. I had no idea. So it definitely changed things when I started figuring out there was a technique behind everything. So I believe in like doing clinics, and I'm a nerd in real life. Like outside of dirt bikes, I'm a total nerd. I like to learn new things. So it's really kind of cool that now I can like be a nerd about technique and then apply it to my dirt bike. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. The biggest thing that helped me a lot was getting my toes in, because it locks your legs to the bike and get it. It really helps out a lot.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. I think I kind of figured that out this weekend doing hill climbs at Brushy. That definitely made a little bit of a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So what's your favorite like feature when you're going through a race? Like, so if you're in a hard enduro, for example, are you like a rock garden guy, or what's your favorite?
The hill climbs. Hill climbs are my favorite for sure. Cause it's just, you just pin it and just try to make it to the top. But okay. Everything's fun, but I'd rather do hill climbs.
What's your least favorite one? Something that maybe you're still working on getting better at?
Those uphill, like mossy rock gardens are not
fun. Oh. You're specifically referencing TKO, I feel like.
Maybe.
Yeah, TKO can be pretty intense from what I hear. This was my first year going, but it was super fun to watch it in person. I've watched it on YouTube before, but it's definitely a very different experience to be there and to kind of feel that energy. What's it like as a rider kind of having a bigger crowd there? Like, is that pretty cool or is it more intimidating?
I think it's really cool because it's like big crowd and there's the Red Bull, like inflatable and all the Red Bull stuff all around. Like you can go tell your friends that you're racing a Red Bull race, and the different race layout is really fun as well. Just racing something different than every other race.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I guess even like people who don't really know what hard enduro is, I mean, everybody knows what Red Bull is. So going to a Red Bull sponsored event is a really big deal.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So when you're getting ready for a race, whether it's TKO or, you know, just do you still do local ones like hair scrambles and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've been running the MSXC series. Just any seat time on the bike and GNCCs I've been doing.
Okay, cool. When you're getting ready for any of those, what kind of training do you do? Or do you have any focus? Like, I mean, you're pretty young yet, so like I totally get that aspect of it. But do you do a whole lot of training for it? Or is it just kind of a you go and you do it?
I work out a lot because I don't really have time to go ride after school. So I'm usually in the gym a lot. And then if I have a day off, we'll always go to Clay City, which is KXCR's training compound. And Neil Durbin, who's a local rider, he's cut a lot of hard enduro trail there. And I'll just go and do all the hardest stuff over and over until it's easy, kind of.
Cool. So you kind of just session stuff.
Yeah.
When you're in the gym, what kind of like routine do you have? Like, are you focusing on like upper body, lower body, everything in general?
Mostly everything. We'll work like different parts of my body on different days. So like it'll be like legs and then core and then chest and back and all. and then I run a lot. I'll run to the gym and then work out and run back. I do that.
Okay, cool. How far is the gym from you?
It's like 3 miles, I think.
So you're doing like 6 miles and then you're... That's pretty awesome. All right. I respect that. I do a lot of running myself. Like an average day for me is between 5 and 10 miles. So I like doing that too. And I actually have been adding in the last couple months, I come home and I do workouts, like body weight workouts after that. So, you know, I'm doing burpees and push-ups and all kinds of ridiculous things. And people have said the same thing to me. So it's kind of funny that I'm as surprised as I am, but you're a lot younger than me. So it's surprising to see somebody that's that dedicated, like to run there and then to run home. Like that's a lot. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference. And running your endurance, I mean, that can only be good for your racing.
Yeah, fitness is everything. If you're not fit and you start cramping up during a race, or like you can't think because you're so tired, then your race is just over. And if you can push like at your max the whole race, that's when you're doing your best.
Yeah, for sure. I think another important aspect of that is nutrition. On my end, at least, I really focus on my nutrition, and I've really changed the way that I eat in the last year and a half to 2 years. I've found that it really, really changes how my body responds to all of that work that I put in. Do you have like a nutrition plan of some sort that you follow?
Not really. I need to, but I try to stay away from sugar as much as possible, but sometimes I can't help it. And I'll try to eat healthy as much as possible.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, I used to be like 10 years ago. I was really big into fasted cardio. It was like the rage in the fitness world at the time. And like 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh, I'm not really hungry. I'm just going to go for a run and then I'll eat when I come back. And I could not even get 3 miles in. I was so tired. And I was just like 2 days before that, I ran 15 miles, no problem. So I was like, I mean, I wasn't sore or anything like that. It was just strictly because my body had no fuel. Yeah. So I really found that fueling properly makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Whenever I go work out, my dad will always make me like a big dinner when I get back, like a lot of eggs, steak, maybe just a lot of protein.
Yeah. Good. I personally found that more protein works for me, for my body. Every body is different. Everybody's body responds differently to different things. Some people do better with a higher carb diet. Some people do better with a higher protein diet. I'm just one of those high protein people. So I really focus on that myself. So talking about steak and running, this is my favorite podcast so far. This is awesome. It's really cool to see you get into it though so young. I mean, you're 14, right?
I just turned 15 in July.
15. Okay. Cool. So 15, but still very young, and you have this much drive, this much motivation to do these things. What if you could give yourself a goal for like the next 2 years? Where do you see yourself?
I'm not sure. I'd like to improve as much as possible. I'd definitely like to make it into the race on Sunday for TKO next year.
Yeah,
the pro race. That would be that's the goal.
That'd be awesome. I think you could do it if you're this dedicated and you're pushing this much. getting all of this seat time in with these extra races and stuff, I definitely think that that's an achievable goal for sure.
Yeah.
I've seen you ride. You're pretty fast.
Thank you.
So how comfortable are you riding, like, in the different places that you've been able to ride so far? I'm assuming you've done just the East Coast, right?
I went out west.
That's right. Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did Page, Moab, and then I went to Donner.
Okay.
So.
And how was the riding out west versus here east?
I like it a lot more than here because it's so different.
Really?
Yeah. Like Grinding Stone was my favorite because that rock, you just stick to it. So it's just like straight up, and it's awesome out there. Everything's just cool. Like all the views, and it's just so different from here. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I'm from Arizona originally, but I didn't start riding until after I left. And so I went back the beginning of this year when I first got my bike. So my bike didn't even have the cut seat on it yet. Didn't have a suspension done. And like this bike was brand new. And I went out in Arizona and I had the worst time in the slot canyons out there. Oh my goodness. I just could not figure it out. But I've had some seat time since then and I'm heading back in a couple weeks. So I'm super excited to like redeem myself because it's absolutely epic out there. And you know, when you get to, I mean, I haven't ridden in Page, but I rode in like the Phoenix area and like Tucson and like a lot of desert stuff, but going up mountains out there, it's a little bit different than going up mountains out here. Mountains out here are pretty gnarly. But it is very, very different riding, but it's cool to hear that you appreciate it so much. Like I always like hearing when people appreciate like West Coast, just cause that's where like I'm from, but I haven't ridden. I have way more experience riding East Coast now than I do West Coast, but it's cool to hear you say that you like it. Cause a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't like it. Cause it's so different from what I'm used to.
No, I like it way more out there. There's no, like, you don't have to worry about rocks or roots or anything. You just go in a direction. Just explore wherever.
You're in a very different part of Arizona than I was riding. There's a lot of rocks to worry about where I was.
Yeah.
It's really different. In the part of California that I was riding, the rock looks very similar to what it does in Arizona, but the rocks like crumble under your tire. So it's a little bit different. And so it's really weird how like terrain can change so much. Even though it looks similar, it acts very different. So first time riding in a place, like when you first went out west, was it kind of like mind blowing to you and just like, did it throw you off?
Yeah, we went out there and my buddies were telling me to go up this wall and everyone else was hitting it. And I had no idea it was like possible, but it was an easy hill out there because you stick to the rock. And
yeah,
I hit it and it was kind of freaky the first time because it
the rocks out there are very different. When I got here, I definitely expected rocks to be more grippy than they are. But out here, it's like ice being on them sometimes, like especially in the summer.
Yeah.
The summertime, rocks, yeah. They're like, yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's a lot worse down here in this part versus like I spent most of the summer up in the Northeast in Maine and that kind of area. So it's not as bad up there, but it still was very different from what I was used to.
Yeah.
So how many different states do you think you've ridden in now?
Ooh, a lot. I'm not sure. I've been all around the East, and I don't know. It's a hard question because I've usually I just kind of hop in the truck and end up somewhere and race. That's kind of how I see it.
That's kind of cool, though, for somebody who's so young, who doesn't have a driver's license yet, and you've been so many places. Like, that's that's pretty awesome. So obviously you have a lot of support from your family.
Yeah, definitely.
That's cool. Do they come out to every race with you? Like, does your whole family come out, or just like your dad? Or
if it's like a small local race, they'll sometimes come, but if it's one of the hard enduros, they try their best to come all the time.
That's awesome. I think it's really cool that the community around hard enduro is very family based, I've found, and it's really awesome to like go out there and see people like camping with their entire families, like little babies and grandparents, and like everybody comes out. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, I saw Cody Webb at Donner with his whole family and his trailer.
Yeah,
they were cooking breakfast, just hanging out like normal racers, even though he was like the biggest pro.
Cool. That's another thing that I love about hard enduro is that all of the pros are so like humble, and they're just like normal guys. They're totally cool.
Yeah.
I've been around some other disciplines where it's just like the pros are very standoffish a little, or like they're just not overly willing to engage with you. And like, I kind of get it, but at the same time, it's like, come on, dude. Like, why do you have to be rude? Like, yeah. But in hard enduro, I mean, I've met so many of those guys now, and they're all super, super awesome guys, just willing to talk. And most of them, because I'm a girl, they're like, oh, do you ride? And then they start asking me about, like, my bike and stuff like that and start giving me tips. And I'm like, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of help from a lot of tips and tricks from the pros, like how to set up tires and suspension, all that stuff.
That's really cool. Because, like, I mean, you're the future of the sport, but you're also their future competition, you know? And, like, they don't have to be doing that, but they do. And I think that that's just the coolest thing. Like, none of these guys have to give any of us any time, and they do. They'll sit there and they'll talk to you and they'll give you as much info as they can, because they just want to see the sport grow and they want to see people excel. And I think that that's awesome. Like, hard enduro brings the coolest people together.
Yeah, it's cool to see that nobody's like hiding things from other people. Everyone's willing to help other people.
Yeah, exactly. Do you kind of feel that way? Like, if you see people who are younger than you, do you kind of like feel that way towards them, or are you not quite there yet?
Yeah, I always help people who don't. Like, if they need help, I'm always there to help.
That's good. That's really cool. If you wanted to go anywhere in the U.S., where would you want to go to ride that you haven't been?
What's in Idaho? What's in Idaho?
Silver Kings.
Idaho Silver Kings.
Silver Kings is a good one.
Silver Kings.
My gnarly one.
Yeah. With the GPS, that looks fun.
Yeah. It was pretty intense. I went this year and I like did some pictures and stuff there. And I told you I run. And I'm in pretty decent shape, but I was like huffing and puffing on the side of that mountain trying to get places. I was like, this is freaking huge, man.
Yeah, the hill climbs out there look fun. I've seen all the Instagrams.
Yeah. Yeah, you strike me as a rider who's very similar to Conaboy. Kind of good with that super fast and then still good with the technical. And Conaboy flew through that terrain. Oh my God. Like literally flew. He came up a hill and like he rode a wheelie for like the last 10 feet. And then he like jumped over the crest. And I was like, what just happened?
Yeah, he's an unbelievable rider. He's really good for his age.
Yeah. Yes, he is. It's incredible. Just the talent that I've seen this year is ridiculous. You all are insane. But like Makana's very, I mean, he's 15, he's almost 16. You know, and he's insane too. I don't know what it is about those Hawaii guys, something out there.
All the Hawaiians are good.
Yeah. Yeah, Carly too. She kicks ass on her little bike when I've seen her.
Yeah.
She's awesome. So, and I think she's pretty young too. So it's really cool to see so many young people doing so well. I think it's really awesome for the future of the sport and to see how much media presence that hard enduro is starting to get now. You know, it's kind of starting to grow, and I feel like this is a really, really cool time to be kind of coming into your own in the sport. I think it's really awesome that, you know, you have so much dedication to it, and you're just gonna continue to impress people. So it seems like you had a really good year this year. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I had a good year this year. Yeah. I was mainly focused on all the premier races and getting the premier championship. And that was definitely fun for sure. Cause it was all the races were in different different terrains, like wildly different terrains. So every race was different. So it was fun to travel around so much and ride on so much different stuff.
That's really cool. What was your, out of the East Coast, what was your favorite track? Or what part of the track as well?
The Fallen Timbers track this year, the one I just did, it was really fun. The track was, I won it and got sixth overall amateur, and the track was perfect. Like the conditions were perfect. It was a really fun race.
That's cool. What was the best part about that track?
There were these real big hill climbs. It was real fun.
Yeah, and those hill climbs.
Yeah.
So are you, since you're so into hill climbs, do you have any interest in going to Romaniacs at any time? Because I feel like that's a lot of pretty gnarly hill climbs.
Yeah, I would definitely go to Romaniacs. I'd go to any race. Romaniacs looks fun. And going to a different country for a race would be cool.
Yeah, I think Romaniacs would be insane. Those hills are so ridiculously steep. And I mean, they look steep on camera. And we all know that cameras never do that stuff justice. So I can't only imagine what it looks like in person. And just the stories I've heard from friends who've gone over there, it's just like, oh man, I want to go so bad just to see it. Like, I know that I don't have the skill to ride it, but oh my God, it'd be so cool just to see it and to watch everybody go through that. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So if you could pick any race overseas, which race would you want to go to?
See the Sky. Definitely. Yeah. I've been watching the Instagrams of the Sea to Sky race for like 2 years, and it looks so fun. Like starting on the beach and then ending up on a massive mountain, it and all those wooden features over the water, it all looks awesome.
Yeah. Where people like me fall into the water. Yeah, that one looks really epic. I think that that's probably one of my favorite ones. And I'm actually trying to go to that one next year to go see it. Again, not to race it, just to watch it.
Yeah.
But I think it's so epic. Just seeing those shots from like Mount Olympus at the end, like just how cool it looks. Like it looks like they're riding above the clouds. Like, it looks like a fairy tale.
Yeah. It. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just awesome.
Yeah. And I can imagine as somebody who likes to go up hills, I mean, that's a true mountain that you'd be going up. So you get plenty of that. But it sounds like they made it pretty hard this year. And I don't know if they're going to keep it that hard. It looks like everybody struggled. But it was so cool to watch. Oh, my God. It's one of my favorite ones to watch, probably for the same reasons.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and you're struggling, you're doing something, obviously not going up Mount Olympus, but you know, we all have our own little things that we deal with when we're out on the trail or during a race. When you find yourself struggling, is there anything that you do or kind of what motivates you or inspires you to keep going if you do find yourself struggling?
My dad always said, like, he'll take me to the races and do all the stuff as long as he can see me doing, like, trying my hardest. And so whenever I'm in a race, like, struggling, like, I don't even have an idea of quitting the race because I know, like, it's just been, like, drilled in my head over and over that, like, you can't quit. And so... that's a tough question.
It is a tough question, but it's kind of just pointed towards mindset, and hard enduro requires a certain kind of mindset. Dirt biking in general does, right? Like we all start dirt biking and we fall in love with it, but it's not easy. Even just riding, you know, when we first are learning and we're riding in a straight line, that's not easy to do all the time, you know? So it takes a lot of resilience and it really kind of builds that in you. And so I just think that I usually ask this question just to highlight the strengths that racers especially have with their mindset. You know, you have no quit. Quit's not an option for you. That's really, really cool. You know, I've said this before to a couple friends where a lot of kids these days don't know how to even get started. You know, there's a lot of kids who just sit there on their video games and stuff. And I mean, I game too, so like, I totally get it. But, you know, they don't start doing stuff like this. And when they start to do something and it's hard, they quit. Because that's not really our culture anymore, right? Our culture isn't really based on pushing hard like it used to be, at least in my personal opinion. And so I think it's really, really cool when I see younger people who have that kind of drive, who have that kind of mindset. It's a tough, tough thing to push your bike through rock gardens and try and, you know, go over logs and stuff like that. Like, it's not easy at all, but it's really, really cool to see people do it and do it well.
Yeah. When I was on the 65, I did not want to go ride at all. I didn't like it at all because I hadn't gotten it yet. And my dad just kept forcing me back to the trails to keep riding over and over. Now it's all I want to do. Like, I don't really like sitting inside anymore. I always want to be outside and on my bike and stuff. Just doing something.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. And you know, I don't know. I guess did that kind of build like a bond between you and your dad and kind of like strengthen that between you guys? Even
Yeah.
though in the beginning maybe you were like, "Dad, I don't want to," but like
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
I think it's really awesome to have something like that with your parents. It's pretty special because not everybody gets to have something like that. I didn't have something like that growing up. I did used to work on cars with my father. So like I had that cool bonding experience, but I would have much rather had him try and teach me how to ride a dirt bike.
Yeah, I would always be out on the farm with my dad doing farm work and just always with him. So me and him are real close.
That's really cool. I love that. And so you said that he rode motocross. So did he ever try and push you into motocross?
No, he when my mom and him met, he had a bad crash and like landed into the backside of a jump, and the bike landed on him and he broke his arm and his leg. And like right then my mom said, "You're never doing motocross again." And so whenever it was like a struggle to get me into racing, and so there was no thought about doing motocross at all.
So there's this big debate about whether motocross is more dangerous than trail riding. What's your opinion on that?
It depends on what kind of trail riding, because some of those GNCC trails, it'll just be wide tracks through trees going real fast. And if you get thrown and hit a tree, it's bad. But I mean, motocross, you're doing massive jumps, so you're falling out of the air like 40 feet if something goes wrong. And with those jumps, it could be something out of your control. Like your bike could break off the face and you could crash that way. But you're not really getting off the ground much in hair scrambles.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I guess I've kind of seen people say things on both sides, and usually the big thing against trail riding is that there's trees. And I'm like, well, don't hit them.
Yeah, the trees and the roots. The roots will get you.
Yes, roots are a special kind of demon around here. I'm learning them though. I'm getting a lot better at them. But they're definitely, oof.
Sometimes you can get like in your favor. Like you can jump off of them, like over other stuff, I've found out.
You can jump off of them. I have not developed the ability to jump yet. So one day that'll be my next goal. Figure out how to jump roots, guys. What's the biggest challenge that you faced when it comes to riding?
I broke both of my collarbones at the same time out in Colorado. And
What?
yeah, it was that one was hard to explain to mom. Like first injury was two broken collarbones.
What did you do?
I hit this jump and flipped over the bars, and I hit this shoulder here, so it broke on the inside, and then I came down and smacked this one flat and it broke in the middle. And I didn't know this one was broken, and my dad pulled me off the ground with this arm. And I still didn't know it was broken. I thought it was just like bruised. And then when we got to the doctor, he told me it was broken, and we it was kind of surprised.
My gosh. So remember this conversation we just had about learning how to jump? That makes me not want to learn.
I was really young though, and I was on a different bike because mine blew up.
Well, I'm on a bike that I can't touch the ground, so
Yeah.
Just imagining both collarbones, like that's a gnarly injury.
They didn't know how to put me in two slings, and I was like this, like one over the other, and it was.
They've never seen that before.
Like the doctor hadn't seen it before.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. So how long did it take you to recover from that?
It was 6 weeks.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
I mean, it probably felt like a lifetime to you because you're like stuck all mummified, but
I couldn't feed myself. Like I couldn't move my arms at all.
Oh, that's so sad. Once again, shout out to your family.
Yes.
Wow, that's so crazy. So when you're going through like this injury, you can't feed yourself. Imagine you can't clothe yourself, you know, like that's pretty gnarly to get your independence essentially taken away from you. Yeah. Like how did you deal with that mentally? Was that a struggle for you?
Not really. I just wanted it to heal faster so I could start riding again.
You're just ready to get right back on.
Yeah. Like sitting in the house for 6 weeks was not fun to me.
Again, I think that speaks so highly of your mindset because there are people who get injured with way less of injuries and they just get so scared to go back out and, you know, they're afraid to re-injure and a lot of people will avoid whatever it was that injured them, whether it's the bike or whatever.
I also fractured my shoulder blade halfway through and the doctor told me to wait 6 weeks until I rode again. And I waited 2 weeks. And he said, you can ride, but at your own risk. And so, like, I couldn't lift it past my shoulder height. But if I got it on the handlebars, it would stop hurting. So,
you're like, this is making it better.
Yeah. It's better.
Okay. I mean, that's semi-logical. Yeah. I work in the medical field, so, like, I'm torn because, like, I don't know. I think it's so cool that you got right back on, but wow.
Yeah. My dad and I always like, if you break a bone, we think that like working it out and getting blood flow to it will help it heal a lot faster. Cause I was working out the whole time. I broke my shoulder blade and the doctor said it was fully healed in 4 weeks. So.
Wow.
Definitely
that's helps. Pretty incredible. Yeah, I definitely think that I'm not an expert on bones. I cut them, but I'm not an expert at them, but I definitely think there's something to that, you know, having that blood flow and everything. So yeah, I would support that theory without going too much into my nerdiness. Like I said, I'm a super nerd, so I went to school for a long time, so we don't need to get into that. But yeah, that's really cool. If you had any kind of advice for somebody who's new to dirt biking in general, what would be your best advice for them?
I would say brand new
on a dirt bike.
I would say just try to ride as much as possible because the more you're on your bike, the more you can figure out different things to help you ride better. And some things you just learn from experience. So just seat time that's what I've always done. Just stay on the bike as much as possible.
Yeah, I definitely support that because really, I mean, I've been through several clinics and I have the knowledge in my head on how I'm supposed to move my body to do things,
but there's still that visual intimidation factor of I see something and it scares me and I know what I'm supposed to do with my body, but I'm so scared that I just kind of like lock up. And so I think that the only way to get through something like that is to get seat time in, to really see as much as you can and to force yourself into those kinds of situations, because you're not going to get better unless you're doing the thing that kind of scares you or that you're not that great at. It's like in the beginning, when I first got my bike, I was not great at getting on it because I would fall over all the time. Now I'm a lot better at getting on it. I'm really bad at getting off of it. I typically fall when I go to like get off. I go to put a foot down and I just like, usually I'm really tired, so like I misjudge it and I end up just falling over. My friends just laugh at me. They're like, are you gonna be good? I'm like, mm-hmm. Yep, I'm fine. But okay, so then in addition to that, for somebody who's wanting to get into hard enduro, what would be your best advice for that person?
Tires. You got to get your tires right, because if you can't stick to the terrain, then you can't. I mean, you can't ride it because you're not going to be able to go up anything. Yeah, just you can ask the pros. They'll tell you the tire setup.
Tire setup's the biggest thing.
Yes, that's the thing that made my game up. Like getting the right tire has just changed everything.
Cool. So what kind of tires do you run? What's your setup like for that?
I run the Dunlop EN91 EX. It's a great tire. I love it. It's the only one I've run since I found it.
So what was your reasoning for picking that one?
I had a buddy tell me that it was good and that he was running it, and so we bought one and I tried it out and it was way better than what I was running before.
Is it more of like a gummy tire or?
It's a really gummy tire. It's got kind of a different stickier compound than the other gummy tires, I feel like, because when you like twist the knobs, it'll kind of stay there instead of going back. And I just like drilled out mousse that tire and I used 3 rim locks to just clamp it on to make sure it's not coming off.
That's all something that I'm really new at, tire setup. I still have basic tubes in my tires, so I need to change that before I go out west in a couple weeks.
Yeah, get a soft mousse and just drill a bunch of holes around it, and it'll be really soft, and it'll be weird to ride because it feels like you're just riding on a flat tire, but it'll stick to everything. It'll be so much better.
Okay, good to know. Because I still don't know enough about this. I mean, I've been doing this for a couple years now, like hardcore really in the last year and a half. And bike maintenance and setup is still really new to me. Because until I got this bike, I had a TTR. You don't have to do anything to those. You just go and ride it. Then I got the Husky and it's just like, now I have to figure out, I was like, okay, now I have to figure out how to change my oil. I mean, I changed my oil in the TTR, but, you know, I was like, all of these things that you have to do, and there's a lot of stuff to learn. So it's a good thing that I really like to learn, because on top of technique, there's all that other stuff to do. So,
yeah.
And then everybody, of course, is like, oh, you need to put this modification and you need this on it and you need that on it. I'm like, all right, guys, this is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's always another thing to buy for your bike.
Mm-hmm. Yep, always. Especially when you drop it as much as I do. I got new plastics on the list and like... thankfully I had some good advice when I first bought the bike, and my buddy was like, Before you go out and ride it the first time, he's like, before you even ride it one time, he goes, you need to put radiator guards on it. He's like, you need this guard, you need that guard. And so, like, I had to buy all of these guards, which I bought the bike in winter in North Dakota. So it was like literally the day I went to buy it, it was like negative 67 degrees. So I wasn't going to be riding it right away. So it was fine. But yeah, I was really happy for his advice because the very first time I rode it, I slipped on the ice because it was still cold outside and I fell. So
yeah, all the guards you can put on your bike are definitely useful because a blown radiator is a blown engine and that is not good.
Nope. It gets very expensive very quickly.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that is all of the questions that I had for you. Did you have anything?
Nope.
Okay. Well, in this last little bit, this is your time to give your shout outs or anything like that. Say hi to mom, whatever you want.
I'd like to thank mom and dad, Alex Luger, who's trained me at the Shoals, and he's come up here and helped me out at KXCR where I train, and then FXR 100% and Leah, they've helped me out, and Dunlop Tires.
Awesome. Well, cool. It sounds like you've got some amazing support, and it's really, really cool to see you doing so well at such a young age. You've been, I heard your name so many times when I first got started in this at the beginning of the year, and I was like, who is this guy? Like, all right. So I started kind of seeing your name in the stats and everything, and I think the first time I actually saw you and like put your face to your bike, because I've seen you go by, but putting your face to your bike for the first time was at TKO because I was doing staging. So, but it was really cool to kind of see you progress throughout the year. And I'm really excited to see how you do next year and kind of what that all brings for you. It'll be really awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what next year brings. Hopefully I can go do some more different races. Go different places.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. It was really cool to kind of hear some of your story and kind of get to know you and show the world a little bit of who Graham is.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on the podcast. It was fun.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, we will talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.